Thank you. Good morning. You guys hear me okay? I'm pretty loud even without a microphone. So it's good to be with you this morning. My name is Josh. It's an honor to be here this morning and to speak. My wife, Maureen, is with me this morning, and we've been married for about 6 weeks now. So, yeah, praise the Lord. my wife and I, we lead the youth ministry over at Worship City Church here on the north side of town, and I also work at Siouxland Christian School. Hello. Praise the Lord. We okay? Check. Yeah? Maybe? Okay. Like I said, I work at Siouxland Christian School, and we lead the youth ministry at Worship City Church here in town. And a little bit about my wife and I, she has this phrase that I've kind of adopted, and we actually have a sign in our house that says, "All for the kids, all for the kingdom." And that's really just who we are. We believe in the next generation, and we believe in growing the kingdom of God. And so even just sitting in here and seeing all the different things, it's BGMC Sunday and all the different outreaches and things that Crosspoint does, it just excites me, and how the game of baseball in a foreign country could lead a kid to know Jesus. And that's really just who we are, and we believe that everything we can do can impact both those things, for the kids and for the kingdom of God. And so that's a little of who we are, and just so excited to be with you this morning. Pastor Dan, he's a good friend of mine, and we love Crosspoint Church. And the last time I was here, actually, I was officiating my sister's wedding in this building, and just love Crosspoint, love Pastor Dan. And Pastor Dan and I have a lot of shared interests. Some we don't share. I'm not an outdoorsy guy like him. Like, hiking in Pikes Peak, that sounds like a terrible vacation for me, but it sounds great for them. But Pastor Dan, as many of you know, is an encourager, and I was traveling with Pastor Dan to a conference in Houston, and Dan was just always encouraging, and he said to me, he said, "Josh, the more you trust in God and put your hope and trust in him, it just keeps on getting better." And little did Dan or I know that 2 weeks after he said that to me, I would meet my wife for the very first time. And so Pastor Dan, I'm just grateful for him, and I know he might hear this later, it might not, but I'm just grateful for his encouragement, and he's always been a team player. He didn't care what church you were at or what job you had. He just loves the kingdom of God and wants to grow that bigger. And so I'm just grateful for Pastor Dan and for this opportunity. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll just dive in this morning. God, I just thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for being in this place already. Your Spirit's already moving, and so we're just grateful that we have an opportunity to hear your word, that we can gather here safely, and we just praise you and give you all the praise and all the glory. God, speak through me today. Let your Spirit overflow. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for us today. So be with us this morning. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, so tonight, or this morning, I should say, I'm used to preaching at night at a youth group. But this morning, I'm talking about who's writing your story. Who's writing your story? So this summer, one of my goals was to read more. And I am currently almost done with my fourth book of the summer, and for some of you, you're like, "Wow, that's not a lot of reading, Josh," and others of you, you're like, "Maybe I haven't even read four books in my life," and this goal kind of started as my wife and I were putting our house together, and one of our friends gave us a bookshelf, and as we started bringing boxes of books that we had, I realized that, man, I have a lot of books. And a lot of the books I haven't read. And so when the bookshelf was all put together and the books were out of the boxes, over 90% of the books on the full bookshelf were mine. From that day forward, two things happened. One, I desired to read more books that I already owned. And two, we put a pause on me buying any more books. I love stories, though. I love telling stories. I love hearing stories. And I believe we are all walking out a story that is being written today. You see, I've read some biographies and memoirs, and there is such truth in our lives being a story being written. And I believe the best stories in our lives is the story that God is writing. Oftentimes, we think we can make our own decisions or our own plans. There's often the phrase that some people think it's in the Bible, but it's not. But it says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And this was so true in my life. I had graduated high school, made my plans, where I wanted to go to college, what I was going to major in, had the free t-shirt, had the graduation party, and yep, this is where I was going. And in reality, it wasn't where God wanted me to be, wasn't what he wanted me to do with my life. And there are several instances in Scripture where certain people try to write their own story instead of allowing God to write their story. And so we're going to look at a few Bible characters who tried writing their own story instead of giving their story to God and allowing him to write. So first, we're going to talk about Genesis 3, verse 1, talking about Adam and Eve. And I'm not sure if this is working. If not, it's not that big a deal. Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 1 is where we'll start. And the serpent, Satan, was the shrewdest of all the animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, Eve, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Yeah, I believe some of you in this room are listening to the lies of the enemy, asking questions just like that one. Did God really say that? Do you really think you're good enough? Is God really going to come through? Maybe it's not even a question and you're just believing lying statements. You're not a good mom. You're not a good husband. You're never going to make it through. I just want to say, if you're hearing these things, that's a lie directly from the enemy. You are chosen. You are loved by God. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I just want to encourage you, something that I've really challenged myself to do is what the Bible says about taking our thoughts captive. And so many times we start to spiral our thoughts out of control. What starts as a bad day at work or a flat tire turns into I'm never going to be able to provide or pay my water bill this month, when in reality you have a spare tire, you have a family to come home to, you have a roof over your head. And so I just want to encourage you to take your thoughts captive today. I think the sooner you can recognize that, man, I'm going to start spiraling out of control with my thoughts, that I just say, no, thank you, Lord, for a roof over my head. Thank you for all the little things in life. So let's jump back into the word. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, it says, of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. See, Satan is giving Eve the proposition and is tempting her. He said, no, it's not going to be as bad as you think. Verse 6 continues, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame in their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. See, Eve knew what she wasn't supposed to do, but she did it anyway. And maybe that's your story. You know you should or shouldn't be doing something, but yet you still find yourself doing it or not doing it. Some of you already know exactly the thing that you need to start doing or to stop doing. And I just want to say, if you are delaying your obedience, you're ultimately being disobedient. Psalm 119 tells us to obey God's commands, but it says, obey God's commands right away. And so some of you, maybe God's told you something, or you just feel an inkling from the Spirit that you're supposed to do something, but you still haven't done that. And I just encourage you to start that today. You don't have to wait till you get the job, the house, the career, whatever it is. You can start right now. We have to obey God right away. Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, and their actions had a ripple effect. The same could be true about your actions. And oftentimes, it starts small. Oftentimes, someone who takes one drink in high school doesn't say, oh, I want to be an alcoholic when I grow up. See, one bite of an apple led to sin entering the world. One veer off the path God has for you can affect the people closest to you. And sometimes they had no involvement or no desire to be involved. After Eve ate the apple, she involved Adam in her wrongdoing. See, when we do something wrong, sometimes we try to relieve our guilt by involving someone else. It's not that bad, you might say. Well, they're doing it with me, so it can't be that bad. Like toxic waste spilling into a river, sin can spread quickly. But church, I want to encourage you with this. I know that was kind of harsh, but you are not too far gone. The best thing you can do today is recognize and confess. Recognize and confess your sin to God before you start polluting others and before you pollute those around you even more, maybe, than you already have. So it starts simple. Recognize and confess. And what's great about God is He already knows. And so sometimes it's hard for us even to vocalize to God that you've sinned or messed up, but God already knows. And what's great about God is if you're veering one direction off His path, if you turn around back towards Him, He's right there. He's right there. So recognize and confess. The next Bible characters we're going to talk about is Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah are just another example in Scripture of someone who knew God was writing their story, but decided to take matters into their own hands rather than wait for God to fulfill His promises. Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarai, you may hear me refer to them either way. They're the same people, Abram and Abraham, Sarai and Sarah. Their names eventually get changed by God. And so you may hear both names, but just know they're the same person. I'm not just fumbling my words or something. Abraham is promised by God that his wife will have a child. Despite Abraham and Sarah being advanced in age, this was the promise God first gave Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. God promised not only a son, but numerous descendants. And how does Abraham initially respond? In verse 6, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. So Abraham believed in the Lord's promise that he would have many descendants and multiply. Abraham knew that the promise of God and promise of what God was going to do, but he and his wife got impatient or thought they knew how to write God's story. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. Sarah took matters into her own hands by giving Hagar to Abraham. Like Abraham, she had trouble believing God's promise that was apparently directed specifically to Abraham and Sarah. And out of their lack of faith, it came a series of problems. And sometimes God wants us to do something. We know what we're supposed to do, but we get impatient. Or we're believing God for a miracle, but the miracle hasn't come yet. And so we say, well, forget that. Or, oh, I can do something on my own. So that's what Abraham and Sarah were doing. And it's not just Sarah, it's not Abraham, it's both. They both agreed to do this. Verse 4, Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show you who's wrong, you or me." So now the tensions are starting to rise. Sarah and Abraham thought they could write God's promises out for him. Abraham knew that God promised him descendants, but he and Sarah thought they knew how it would all work out. So now you have Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and now an unborn child who isn't the son that Abraham and Sarah were promised. Sounds a little messy, huh? As I was preparing this message, I was telling my wife that there's so many layers to unpack in this Bible story, and we could cover so many different aspects. And so I could spend all day unpacking about all the different characters and aspects of this story. So if you have lunch plans, you can cancel them. We'll be here all afternoon. Just kidding. But what's great about this story, and I'll try to sum it up quickly, but what's great about this story is the redeeming nature of God, that everyone finds redemption, all four of those characters, Sarah, Abraham, Hagar, and the unborn child. So let's look at how God redeems this. First, Hagar. She is frustrated and mistreated by Sarah, but the angel of the Lord intervenes at just the right time. And how many of you know that God intervenes at just the right time? God's timing is perfect. We were just talking about that yesterday, that God's timing is perfect. It doesn't make sense to us why or why we go through certain things, but his timing is perfect, and he always intervenes at just the right time, church. So this happened to Hagar. She's frustrated. She's mistreated, and the angel of the Lord intervenes. Genesis chapter 16, verse 11. The angel also said, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael," which means God hears, "for the Lord has heard your cry of distress." The Lord heard her and knew her situation, and moving forward, she trusted him. Maybe that's you today. You feel like God hasn't heard your cries or your prayers late at night, early in the morning. But God hears you. He knows your situation. And if we move forward in trusting in him, he will get us through. Might not make sense on this side of eternity why we're going through certain things, but on the other side, that's all that matters. We're focused on eternal things. Keep our hope in Jesus. Doesn't matter what this world will throw at us. The Lord hears you, and he knows your situation, and he still loves you and cares about you. Hagar gave birth to Ishmael and gave him to Abraham. And Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. I don't know about you, but I don't know many 86-year-olds that want to have a newborn child. And it was just kind of crazy that 86 years old, he was now a father for the first time. Ishmael is born at the end of chapter 16, and then right at the beginning of chapter 17, says that Abraham is now 99 years old. So 13 years have passed since Abraham and Sarah tried to write their own story. The Lord appears to Abraham again, and he just wants Abraham to serve God faithfully. Verse 4 of chapter 17, God reminds Abraham of the promise he has already told him. "This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations." And this is where Abraham's name officially changes from Abram to Abraham. And what does Abraham mean? Father of many. Verse 6, "I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them." God says in verse 9, "Your responsibility is to obey." It's all God is asking today, church. Be faithful to God and obey. Maybe that's you today. You're not sure about your job, your house, your situations, your family. And all God wants you to do is trust in him and be faithful and obey him. That's all God wanted Abraham to do, is just be faithful and trust and not try to do his own thing. And so we've seen Hagar and Abraham have been redeemed regardless of their mistakes and what they've done. And Sarah and Ishmael are redeemed too. In Genesis 17, 16, God has now just changed Sarah's name, and here's what he says starting in verse 16. I will bless her, meaning Sarah, and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Then Abraham bowed to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100, he thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? So now Abraham, instead of just being faithful and obeying and trusting, like God just reminded him for not the first time, he's already beginning to question things. He's already laughing and is in disbelief. Verse 18, Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. But God replied, he said, I'm done messing. He replied, no, Sarah, your wife will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. Abraham tries again to say that Ishmael is the promise he's talking about when he was not who God had in mind. But God didn't just leave Ishmael hanging either. In verse 20, as for Ishmael, I will bless him also, just as you have asked. So God didn't forget about Ishmael. Although he was not the promise or the son that God was referring to, God still had a plan and a purpose for his life. Maybe that's you today. You're questioning why I was even born, what am I doing with my life? And I just want to say, regardless of your circumstances, of what your upbringing, whatever it is, God has not forgotten about you. God cares about you, he loves you, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. We just have to obey and trust him. Now, in the same way, the Lord appears before Sarah and Abraham and promises a son a year from now. He gives a timeline, and Sarah now laughs at God this time. And God responds, and this verse is so powerful, in Genesis 18, 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The obvious answer is, of course not. But how many times do we question how we are going to make ends meet or how we are going to make it through a difficulty? Church, does anyone need a reminder of that question today? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Asking this question can remind us that God can be personally involved in our lives, and we can ask for his supernatural power to help us through. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let's flash forward. Genesis chapter 21, the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. God's perfect timing. Who would have thought that Abraham and Sarah would have a son at 190 years old? It's got to be impossible. But church, doing impossible things is an everyday thing for God. I don't know what you feel like is impossible right now, but impossible things with God become possible. God's always working for our good. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. See, the last Bible character I'm going to talk about, and I'll be real brief, is the character of Jonah. Famous story. Jonah was a man called by God to a specific place. He was called to Nineveh, and instead, he went in the complete opposite direction to Tarshish. And he knew exactly where he was supposed to go, but he went the opposite direction. And I think there's things in our life that are equivalent to Tarshish. What is your Tarshish? What are you heading towards that you know you're not supposed to? Is it that one sin that you can't seem to give up, or that one addiction that seems to bog you down, or maybe it's just how you treat people in public. Whatever it is, God wants us to get back on track with him. And so as I prepare to close this morning, it starts with knowing God and trusting in him. It doesn't start with making a certain amount of money, working a certain job, living in a nice house. It doesn't start with that. It starts with knowing God and trusting him. So I believe there's a category that all of us can probably fit in a few different categories here. Maybe you know what to do, but you haven't done it. Maybe you know what you shouldn't do, and you're still doing it. Or maybe you're like Jonah, and you're going the complete opposite direction. Or maybe you're somewhere in between. And so, I just want to ask you to bow your heads around this place, and let's pray. And I just want to encourage you that you can't follow God's plan for your life. You can't receive what he has for you if you haven't declared him as your Lord and Savior. And so I just want to give that personal invitation that if you've never given the Lord your heart today, let today be that day that you can say, I don't know how it all works out. I don't know why I've run astray or why I haven't turned to him now, but July 7th could be your day that your life changes forever. And so, God, I just pray over the individual or individuals who maybe have never made that declaration. Let today be that day. God, if there's an individual looking for a sign that you're real, you're alive and active, that today would be that day. And so, God, we just confess, we're sinners, we're broken people, we need you, this world needs you. And so we repent of our sins, we confess whatever is holding us from you. God, I just pray for boldness right now in Jesus' name, that we can take small steps towards you today. So God, I pray for the individual that is making that declaration today, that your life will be numbered by God, that your name is written in the book of life from this day forward. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And now, God, I just want to pray for individuals that maybe have picked up the pencil and started writing their own story. And I just pray that you can reveal your plans, your purposes for their lives, whether it's a specific career or whether it's simply just to be faithful and trust and obey in you. God, give us boldness and confidence that as we enter into the workplaces, as we go to the grocery store, whatever it is, people can see Jesus and we can live out your story that you're writing for us. God, I pray for the individual, whether it's someone in this room or maybe it's a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a relative, a coworker that's turned completely away from you, that they can return home today in Jesus' name. That we are never too far gone from you. You're always right there. And God, you're the ultimate GPS. You guide us and lead us. And so be with us, God. God, we don't have the answers, so we have to rely on you. God, this world needs you. We need you. And God, I just pray for anyone that's in between. They may feel like I'm not completely away from you, but I'm also not sure if I'm following your plan or your story that you're writing. And so, God, I just pray for divine encounters that you can reveal yourself to us. So be with us, God. We just thank you. Lead us and guide us. Write our stories today. Generational curses can be broken in Jesus' name today. God, a decision to follow you can change generations to come. Just like Abraham and Sarah, they finally chose to trust and obey in God, and now they had descendants that we couldn't even count. So God, be with us. Lead us and guide us. We just trust in you. So we praise you. We give you all these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, church, it was really great to bring the word this morning. I just want to encourage you, get into the word this week. God's word is alive and active. You could read the same scripture 10 days in a row, and it would speak 10 different things to you. And that's my encouragement. Fall in love with reading the word of God. I know I joked about being a reader, but it started with falling in love with reading the word of God every morning. And so that's my encouragement. Let me pray a prayer of blessing over you guys, and then we can get out of here. God, I just thank you for each and every person in this church. God, I thank you for Crosspoint. I thank you for the Bittinger family and how they lead this community so well. I thank you for everyone that helped with this service, and just pray that your will would be done for Crosspoint Church and through this community, that we can continue to partner together, and that your will be done in Sioux City. So we just thank you. I pray a blessing over each and every person that is in this room. God, be with them this week. I pray that Jesus is seen on them this week, that we can shine a light in this community that needs it so well. So we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Have a good day, everybody. Yes, of course.